All right, the doctor is in here on WGN. Anna DeVlantis here, and Dr. Steve Salzman can answer questions, a lot of questions about the coronavirus, of course. Some good news, though. This is, who's ready for some good news on this? I saw this list from a top scientist, and he basically was pulling together all of the things going on around the world in terms of advancements in vaccine development. There are a number of them that are in the works around the world because it's a global problem. You have some of the top minds in the world working on this. Israel's working on a vaccine. They have some in, they're chest testing some in Seattle right now. There are some, they're looking at drugs that may work in India. They've successfully treated a couple of patients there. Some other drug cocktails being tested in other places around the world. So lots of things being tested. Hopefully some breakthroughs soon. You also are looking at the curve of new cases. China's new cases have plummeted. They have now closed down their last temporary hospital in China built to handle this, and not enough new cases to warrant them. So that's good. South Korea's dramatic drop in cases also, they're reporting that dramatic drop as well. So, and every day they look at those numbers, and that is some good news. Let's talk to Dr. Steve Salzman. You've been looking at all the data yourself, and I know you, you've come prepared with some things that you've just kind of learned about the coronavirus, what the medical community is talking about. Where do you want to start, Dr. Steve? Let's start with turning on the phone line. How about that? So we can hear you. Sorry, Dr. Steve. You start from the beginning there. I didn't have you up.
No worries. Hi.
Hi.
I think the most important thing we talk about is that the Bears acquired yet another quarterback.
I know. Wait.
Very big news.
Wait. What did I miss? I didn't hear this.
No, what are you talking about? He's talking about with Nick Foles.
Oh, Nick Foles.
Yes. It's not confirmed. It's sort of Adam Schefter confirmed it, but I digress.
Okay. Things to be excited about.
Yes, right. We got to start off something positive, you said. So there we go.
Thank you.
Let's start off with how long does it last? Because everyone's talking about washing our hands, and using all of these sort of protective measures. And so they just came out with a large study, and what they did was they applied the COVID-19 to multiple surfaces, and they did it over about 69 to 70, 73 degrees Fahrenheit at 40% relative humidity for 7 days. And what they found was that it's on copper, it lasted 4 hours, cardboard was 24, steel and plastic was 72 hours, but it found that it was airborne alive for 3 hours. And if they actually confirm that to be true, then the coronavirus is probably significantly more contagious through air, through simple breathing, than through the respiratory droplets that we always talk about, through coughing and sneezing. You know, that's like measles, smallpox, TB. Those are the kinds of diseases that can be by just from simple breathing. So, you know, we're going to have to truly follow that because, again, we don't know how contagious it is, how close we saw it. You know, they arbitrarily say 6 feet, but, you know, I don't know that they have any of that really confirmed.
Yeah, that seems, we heard that from the White House officials today. You had several health officials step up the microphone and say we're learning all the time about what, you know, more about this, and that the guidance changes all the time, which is why we're self-isolating and we're doing this working from home and doing that kind of thing, because that seems like the best bet right now as they determine more about what's going on. Go through those numbers again, though. So you said 72 hours on plastic it can survive. And what were the other ones?
Was steel and plastic was 72 hours. Cardboard was 24. Copper was 4 hours. And then it remained alive airborne for three. Which is significant. Yeah, which is significant.
Okay, so then it could be in the air, but if you're at home and it's just you and whoever you've been with, then that's fine. But this is why we're not in offices right now, and I guess that's the concern. Is that something that just became known? Is this something that was suspected all along, Dr. Steve, or what would you say about that kind of news?
No, I think they had a lot of suspicions, but this was a major study that literally just came out. I believe it was published out today. But again, you know, you can't overstate enough how this social distancing and trying to avoid crowds and all of these things, these mitigation strategies, they are an absolute must, because we'll talk about it in a few minutes. If you play out the numbers without implementing these strategies, they are not good.
So I'm just looking at it now. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, that study you were referencing, and I always love to hear who's behind a study, because that's important. And as you point out, this is a respectable study. National Institutes of Health, the CDC in conjunction with UCLA and Princeton just put this out in the New England Journal of Medicine, that information about how long the virus survives and where. And so that is something that people could check out if they'd like to. But we have time to get to one more before we have to pause here for a second. What else did we just learn, or did you just learn?
Well, okay, so there's so many things we could talk about, and I want to try to get as much information in as possible. We learned about the data of Italy versus China, and it's very interesting because comparatively speaking, It was a much higher mortality rate in Italy than in China. In China, it's about 2%, where Italy was about 7%. And if you broke down the cases, for whatever reason, the data coming out of Italy shows a higher mortality, a higher severity than compared to China, where China, 81% of the cases were mild, only 53% of them were mild in Italy. And 14% in China was severe versus 25% in Italy. And that's starting to... You know, and again, an elderly population, you see how that catastrophe is occurring in Italy and why the death count is climbing there. Because apparently, for whatever reason, whatever everyone's getting hit with in Italy, it's being managed worse by their bodies, unfortunately.
Yeah, it does seem that way. It certainly it went pretty quickly to a place that you didn't know that it would go to. I want to ask you about the mortality rate, because I think there is actually some good news on that front. It initially, when it was reported, it seemed super high. It was somewhere on the 5% mark, we thought, in China, and then they kept altering that downward. But I saw something about saying that you really just don't know in the medical community yet, because you have to take the number of people who tested positive and divide it by the number of, or divide the number of people. You do the math for me, but you're looking at the number who have passed away due to this, and then you look at the number who actually have it, and we really don't have a handle on how many have it until you test the people who don't necessarily have symptoms.
Correct. And by the way, let's really add on to that, that not only do they not know about that stuff, but I was looking over here too. I don't know how much time we have. We have time before a break, but there apparently there are asymptomatic carriers for a period of time. So there are patients.
Wait,
that...
Dr. Steve, I do want to get to that, because a lot of people had questions about that very issue, about if you're asymptomatic, you're not showing symptoms. And we just saw those Nets players, three of the four who have diagnosed with coronavirus did not show symptoms either. So hold that thought. We'll be right back with Dr. Steve Salzman and your medical questions here on WGN. Back with Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve Salzman is here answering your questions. And one of the things that does come up, and you just brought it up moments ago, and I think it's a good thing to talk to us about, Dr. Steve, is this whole idea of people who are not showing symptoms. How do you know if they are contagious? Are they? At what point are they? Do we have the answers to that?
Well, we don't, but let me share something new. Researchers modeled the natural spread of the COVID-19 virus, and they published a major study today in the Journal of Science. And what they found was, for every detected infection, there were five or more undetected infections, and these undetected cases were half as contagious as the detected people. And so basically what they were saying was that there's asymptomatic carriers of this virus. And this is why this whole entire doing this at an all-time high level of social distancing and canceling schools has to happen. Because we don't know. And if there's one person who's asymptomatic and doesn't realize it and then, you know, comes across a whole crowd, they are a biological weapon. And so the only tried true way to get on top of this is to separate and stop the spread. It's truly a war, Anna. We're fighting against something we can't see, and that's replicating that, you know, so fast that, you know, it's taking people out left and right. A very, very huge problem.
But what we're doing is the answer, isn't it? I mean, if you're not in contact with other people for this period of time, isn't that what still works? And we've seen it work in other countries.
Yes, tried and true. And it has to happen. And it's worked in MERS and SARS and a lot of these other cases. But again, you have to caution people now because, you know, one of the things I wanted to bring up before we went to break is we're only getting a better picture now. Remember how this actually plays out, Anna. People get sick, they become super sick, and then initially they present. So we initially in the medical community were seeing the sickest of the people. And that took time to trace out that, you got to jump on top of this. And you could see how it takes time to catch up to something like this. It's the same thing, God forbid, in a terrorist attack that we used to talk about way back a long time ago about biological weapons, that, you know, it could spread from person to person so quickly. And so, you know, there could be a lot of damage done and the horse has left the barn. That's why we're sort of playing some catch-up defense now. But all of these social isolation and mitigation strategies, these are things that played out on a large scale will ultimately work, yes.
Okay, good to know. The other thing is we did have our first death yesterday in Illinois. Patricia Friesen is her name, 61-year-old woman. She had an underlying health condition, and immediately it came to my mind when I heard about this was what was the underlying health condition and what's on that list. Her condition was asthma, and that's what sort of, I guess, you know, didn't work well with this disease. Tell us, though, remind us, what are those underlying conditions that put people particularly at risk?
Right. Again, if we're talking, what do we actually know? We actually know age is one of the most significant risk factors in association with this virus. So the older the person, the bigger the risk. And certainly 80 and above was the majority of deaths, I believe, in China. But there's other comorbid conditions, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, clearly chronic respiratory diseases like asthma or there's a litany of potential pulmonary complications that people suffer from, and diabetes and cancer and immunocompromised people. These are those quote unquote comorbid conditions. But what I just laid out, you know, it's millions of the listeners potentially. So again, you know, people who are not in the best of health, who are of older age, these people really need to stay put and hunker down to protect themselves.
The other thing I was watching Channel 9 this morning, and they were saying that in Barrington, and I know we've been covering this in our news here on WGN Radio throughout the day, they have a drive up where they're doing the testing. Now it's referrals only. Your primary care physician has to say, yes, you're a candidate for this, because they really want to get people who fall in a certain category first. Who falls in that category who should be tested right now?
I mean, I think basically what the party line is, people who are, first of all, symptomatic meaning they have fever and they have muscle aches or they have tightening of the chest or potential respiratory complications. Clearly, those people are at the highest risk of potentially having the virus. And then I think people who've been in close proximity to patients who are known to have COVID-19, I think those people also probably warrant a test, maybe not immediately or as fast as people who are symptomatic, but potentially if we're doing sort of a hierarchy of who needs it, certainly it's the symptomatic people, you know, first. But again, this is all compiling data that in the end, it's not going to change the management of what we're doing with these patients, right, Anna? Because clearly right now, there is no vaccination, there's no treatment. And I mean, if you want, we could touch on what they're talking about treatment for a second.
Yeah, let's hear about that, because seems like there is some sort of good news in the works, potentially. I don't know how close that is, but that they're testing drugs in different places around the world and trying them actually in a test case in Seattle right now, and they're having some success.
There's some, yes, but these are all anecdotal cases. And I think the big thing that you, I think, heard at a press briefing recently was the hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine. These are anti-malarial drugs. They're actually anti-parasite immunosuppressive drugs that they've used in the past, those two that I mentioned, to treat malaria. And there's also Calitro, which is another medicine they're trying. But again, here's the problem. Number one, they have no idea if it's actually effective against the virus. All they're dealing with is anecdotal reports. And they're pulling these out as Hail Marys when patients are failed on the ventilator and they're out of potential things to do. They're almost trying to use it as quote-unquote rescue therapy. And I'm guessing that even if those drugs work, I think that a timely administration of them is going to be necessary for them to make a dent. So again, vaccines, medicines, all of these things are are not going to happen. Not this week, not next week, and unfortunately, not next month.
Okay. That gives you a little feeling for the timeline. 630, please ask the doctor, Dr. Steve, if he thinks everyone who worked as an election judge yesterday should immediately self-isolate. I know we've received these questions, too, about people who come on planes from other countries or that kind of thing. How do you handle that? I guess everyone's sort of self-isolating right now.
Right. Like, what did we say, Ann? I mean, well, what's going to be the party line? Same thing we just said on Monday. You have to err on the side of caution. If there's any question, you have to act as if you have it or if you've been exposed to it. And again, remember, coronavirus is a socially transmitted disease, and we all have a social contract to stop it. And how can the majority of us listening on this program stop it? By doing things to mitigate the potential of spread and to socially isolate ourselves as much as possible. So it's very hard, but if you think you were around somebody who clearly had the coronavirus, yes, I think the answer is you have to isolate. That's the social contract we're all entering into.
Yes, absolutely. 630 says, I'm a mail carrier. My coworker delivered mail to the nursing home in Willowbrook that 22 people tested positive. And shouldn't my coworker now get tested to make sure he's not infecting the whole office or that he's not a carrier in some way? How do you answer that question?
I answer it with, I don't have all of the pertinent points. I don't know when the mail carriers deliver to those places. Do they just deliver to one place? Are they going room to room and handing people the mail? Because if he goes, yes, the answer is, if the mail carrier goes from room to room to room and delivers mail individually to people, yes, I think he is at risk. And potentially, I think, yes, he should self-quarantine. I agree with that person.
Very quickly, because we're almost out of time here, Dr. Steve, but I know you can check in with us again, hopefully tomorrow, the next day. 630, any suggestions for someone who has two generations living together? One works in a nursing facility, how to help everybody in the same home?
That's a very difficult question. I can tell you that looking at what some of my colleagues and some of the people on the front lines are doing, they have made a very difficult choice of isolating themselves within the home. And essentially, they have gone to the basement to live because they are on the front lines and they don't want to expose their family members to it. And I mean, again, that they are honoring that social contract, you know, even with their own family, which is try to stop the spread by isolating yourself. But at the same time, here's the problem. Healthcare workers need to be there. And if they get sick, they are out. And if they are out, that's a bigger drain on the healthcare system, bigger problems overall getting people care. And again, you could see how if we don't take the appropriate steps now to stop this in its tracks, you could see how it could get ugly. And just lastly, and I know we're pressed.
Yeah,
for time,
we are. Just
but if we didn't do anything and we didn't put all these public health interventions and social distancing things in place, within the next 24 days, by April 10th, potentially there would be 1.5 million cases. So these strategies have to be implemented. People have to follow them because we all have a contract. We got to sign and we got to stop the spread. And
yeah,
that's how it's going to be done quickest.
Well, we're not there. So that's the good news, is that we're in a place where we can still prevent it. Dr. Steve, thank you. Thanks for calling in today. And you're a great resource in these times. So stay safe and stay well yourself. Stay healthy.
Thanks, guys. For everybody out there, too, stay healthy.